Welcome back, everybody, to your favorite comic book and pop culture podcast, The Cave of Solitude. I am Eric Anthony, and I'm joined with my very good friend and life partner. State your name.
Daphne J.
Or?
Lady the Amazing. What? I confused them! Daphne the Amazing! Or Lady J.
Or Lady J. Or?
DJ Symphony.
You don't even know all your names. Or on Instagram, Hazels _I.
Oh, yeah. That one.
Welcome back, Daphne J. Figure out who you are and what you're doing here, and maybe we'll get into the subject at hand. How's it going?
It's going.
Very nice. Now that you're here and you know who you are, let's get right into our subject this week. We won't even have any preamble about news or anything like that. We will have an email to read at the end of our show.
Ooh la la.
And we'll get into that. But this week we're going to get back into the comic books. You wanted to read a book, a comic book. You haven't read one in, I don't know how long.
It's been a while. It's been a minute.
Yeah. And you had said to me the other night, give me something to read. I need a new comic book to dig my teeth into. And what was it that your prerequisite to read the book?
Well, obviously, we all know Batman has to be in it.
Okay, Batman has to be in it. And when I handed you a Batman graphic novel that I had recommended to our wild card, right away you said, no, it's too big. It's too much to read. I can't do it. Which you would have really liked it. I still suggested to you, recommended to you. Batman, Bruce Wayne Murderer. Dig into that. You're going to like it. But something me and you haven't discussed. Actually, we have. Now that I think about it, I take it back. But this was a Superman title. We did the Superman Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. But this was a Superman storyline. Mm-hmm. So this is our first time discussing it. But it's interesting because in Superman Sacrifice, which is what we're getting into, Wonder Woman's a major character in it.
Huge character in it.
So we're kind of going back to the well.
And the way this all started, we were watching, I believe, a Supergirl episode.
Yes.
And one of the villains in that episode, well, nobody knows he's a villain yet.
No, but he's a character, he's made an appearance.
Yeah. I was asking, like, who's this guy, this person that everybody loves, and he clearly carries some kind of power within the city. And so this is how this comic book was introduced, because this particular character is also in this series.
Exactly. So let's give a synopsis of Superman Sacrifice, which was a Infinite Crisis prelude. It was the banner on top of the book is Countdown to Infinite Crisis. So it was a big event in DC Comics at the time. So everything leading up to this really set the table nicely for what was about to take place. So the groundbreaking prequel to Infinite Crisis. The Man of Steel has been taken over by Maxwell Lord, the sinister leader behind Checkmate and one of the main causes of the troubles facing Earth's metahuman community. Superman's forced to hallucinate, believing Brainiac, Darkseid, and Ruin are threatening his loved ones, when in actuality, it's Maxwell Lord who's causing the rampant destruction that nearly kills Daphne J's best friend, Batman. Only Wonder Woman has the strength to fight Superman, and in the end, she must make a choice that will forever change how she's viewed by her peers. So, I often ask you how you feel about the book that you've read, if you liked it, or for you to give a review, a ranking. But a lot of times your opinion is based on how the book made you feel at the end. You know, you didn't like what happened, or the story was good, but you just didn't like the way they treated Batman in it. What did you think of Superman Sacrifice?
I liked it.
Okay.
I liked this series.
Story arc.
Mm-hmm. I didn't like the end.
How did it make you feel, Daph J? Tell us.
I felt it was a little unfair and inconsistent.
And you know what? It's meant to. That's the point of it, right? You felt the way they wanted you to feel at the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of conflicted. Because it's really Batman isn't in it too much. No. I kind of tricked you.
Yeah.
I mean, he's there, but he's not, he doesn't have much to do. But it really is what happens to the three of them really puts them at odds with each other. Mm-hmm. All three of them at the end kind of are not trusting each other, which was a big thing that leading into Infinite Crisis, it kind of disbanded the Justice League because the three major leaders of the DC Universe were all looking over their shoulder at each other. So this is written by Greg Rucka and Mark Verheiden and Gail Simone, who were... Well, Greg Rucka definitely is one of comic book's best writers today.
I like his last name.
He's written a lot of Batman. He's done a lot at Marvel as well. But he took his turn with each of the three major DC characters when he was with DC. He wrote a lot of Wonder Woman. And you read his Gotham Central stuff.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So, you may not have realized it, but you do like his work, especially in the Batman universe. He's a really good writer. He's a novelist, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Verheiden is a comic book writer, but he also is a screenplay writer for movies. He wrote The Mask back in the day. I don't know if you remember that. Yeah. And Gail Simone is very well regarded as well. She's a female comic book writer, obviously, by her name. But she's got a large following herself, and the stuff that she's done in the Batman universe has been very highly regarded. So what did you think as far as the writing and the scripting and the plot points of this book? Did you feel it was executed well? Do you think it was choppy? Because there's three different writers, right?
At first, I found it hard to follow. I wasn't sure what it is that I was reading. I didn't know if I skipped a page. I kept finding myself trying to, like, split the pages apart. Because it did seem a little choppy.
Yeah.
But I guess that was a portrayal of what Superman was also going through.
Right.
It was confusion. It was misinterpretation. It was misleading.
Yeah. Very early on, Superman is having these hallucinations that you think you completely understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear as you read on that he's just as confused as you are when you're reading it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you think is happening, he thinks he's envisioning, but it's not that at all. His mind's being all messed with.
Right.
Did you feel frightened initially when you saw the direction they were taking the character? Like, he was kind of this overpowered loose cannon almost.
I wasn't fearful, because in my head I see these characters, these heroes, having reason for doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a biased opinion, especially because I know when they do something, they have everybody else's interest at heart. It's not just about what they need to execute.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never afraid of what it is that he was doing. I was more just I was just trying to figure out why certain things were happening, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I did too when I read it. I was initially just as confused. I had read this years ago, and I enjoyed reading it again because it reminded me that there is a lot of good Superman stuff that isn't necessarily an origin story of Superman or an Elseworld story of Superman. This was in regular continuity, and I really enjoyed going back and revisiting some of this stuff. But, yeah, it did kind of, for me personally, it kind of freaked me out to see him with that first villain that he takes on, or that he thinks he's taking on. He's just blasting him with the heat vision.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not letting up, to the point where the glass and buildings around him is beginning to melt and liquefy. That's how much heat vision he's letting out of the eyes. But
But that's how they have to give their all. They have to do their best, because if not, everything hits the fan. They need to be able to execute.
But even he was getting scared of what he found himself doing, right?
Well, after he came to, yes. But in the moment, you can't fail. These heroes can't fail. So I was watching the Justice League movie War, mm-hmm. when all of them, they're all getting to know each other and trying to figure out how to work with each other. And at the end of the day, when you have this, when you have Darkseid here that's causing just complete havoc and chaos and destruction, there's no room for mistakes. It's do or die. So, you know, I understand that there was, you know, you felt a certain way about how he was being portrayed or how he was taking action. For me, it was like, yeah, he needs to get this done. This has to work. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't do that unless there wasn't any real reason behind it.
If now, of course, this is a ridiculous question. Listener, disclaimer, we know this is all fake and not ever going to happen. But if a character or something like Superman existed, would you live in that city? Would you feel protected with him being there? Or would you be... I love Superman in the comic book. I wouldn't live wherever he lived. I'd live as far away from him as possible.
I think I would live in a city depending on the superhero. For example, if I'm going to live in a city where Superman is, then people of his caliber, of his type of power, are going to come and fight him there. But Batman is human. So his
would never live in Gotham. Batman is ridiculous.
No, but a human, like, or okay, fine. Let's put Batman to the side for just a millisecond. Green Arrow, he's human, so a lot of his enemies are going to be again of that same caliber. Level.
Yeah.
So would it be cool to live in a superhero city? Of course it would, because you get to see and experience different things and you feel like, you know, yeah, it's my city. But I wouldn't want Superman, because that's just...
Someone just flying through your office building randomly because there's a threat.
Yeah, no, it's a true. Little messy.
When you realized that his mind was being messed with and that all of those hallucinations he had in those battles where he couldn't figure out if he was fighting the villain in Metropolis, or if it was Darkseid, or if it was Brainiac, he kept trying to make sense of what really happened. When you realized that the person he was unleashing his fury on was your best friend, Batman, what did you feel? What did you think?
Felt like that.
Like Kobe walking through.
It blew my mind.
Shook you up.
Yeah.
And in this current time of publishing in DC Comics, this was around 2005, I would say, all of the Batman Superman stuff had been coming out. So their friendship was very well established and in full force. So I could imagine, when this was being written, or when it was being presented from a fictional standpoint, how the character of Superman would have felt to see that he had done this to his closest ally. You know what I mean? Seeing him on that table with the tubes going in him and all of the I forgot what they said was the...
He was basically in a coma.
He was. He was in a coma. He had the burn marks from the heat vision. Mm-hmm. If he wasn't at the JLA Tower when it had happened, he probably would have kicked the bucket. Mm-hmm. So what was going through your head, other than the shaking and the nervousness? How did you think he should have been dealt with, Superman? Because they wanted to put him in, like, for the meantime, into some sort of a device that would split him up into different places so he couldn't be one solid form and do any more damage.
It seems kind of rush what they were gonna what they were proposing to do, but they were doing it out of interest for him, keeping everyone else safe and himself. So it wasn't coming from a place of malice. It was coming from a place of care and protection. I liked how they addressed the situation. How they, you know, I think it was Hawkman and Green Lantern, The Flash. I forget who, Martian? No, Martian was with Lois. No, I think he was there too. And they basically said, you gotta come with us. We need to figure this out. And at this point, Superman didn't know what was going on. And I did see his hands, the artwork. I saw his hands, they were stained. And I'm like, what? Are they going to explain this? Like, why is he...
Good pickup.
Why is he... They just arrived and he has this stuff on him.
It's a good pickup,
and
yeah.
Then it's obviously revealed when Diana tells him, you have vision. Like, you can just look at the blood and deduce whose blood is on your hands right now. Right, and then he breaks down.
Yeah.
So, was it harsh? Maybe. Was it the fair thing to do? I think so.
It, for me to be more articulate, because I don't think I explained what they had planned for him properly, was that they were going to put him in a transport tube and initiate a teleportation loop and move him around so fast that he'd have no ability to escape in this tube on the JLA watchtower. And his atoms would bounce around. But what he realizes, or what he thinks he realizes, is that they're all, he gets paranoid, and he thinks that they're all a part of the plot to stop him.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws Martian Manhunter in the tube, and he throws, I think, Green Lantern out into space.
Oh, all hell breaks loose.
All hell breaks loose, and he takes off, because he thinks that he's got to go and stop Maxwell Lord, because they're all a part of his plot, Maxwell's plot. How did you feel about the artwork through this book? Because there's different writers and the story was taking place through different books. Did you enjoy it? Did you prefer one over the other? Was it throwing you off when it would change?
There was some artwork I didn't particularly like.
Okay. Do you remember where about it was? Was it this one? This is John Byrne. All the scenes where he fights Darkseid.
Actually, I didn't mind that. I just found certain facial expressions to be annoying.
Yeah, this is very classic Superman artwork. John Byrne, I'm sure I've mentioned him to you before, but he was the one who was given the reins to Superman back in the 80s to reboot him. So he has a lot of time spent back in that era of drawing and writing Superman. So this is definitely a classic look of Superman in a comic book. And I love it because it's my childhood Superman. And I think it's some of the best comic book art is from John Byrne. But I didn't like myself when it changed to this issue here. I think it's Carl Kerschel. Not that his art was bad. I like the art, the way he draws. I just didn't like it for this story and for Superman. Because I felt it was a little bit too cartoony
animated. What I was going to say about this particular artwork, this kind of reminded me of like the Superman-Batman books that I read in the past. For example, with, I think one is called Apocalypse, the other one, where Bruce and Clark...
Absolute Power.
Yeah, it was kind of like that, like everything's exaggerated, the chin is big, the chest is big, but it wasn't crisp, like in those other stories. It was a little bit more loose.
Okay, like, it wasn't like this.
It wasn't sharp edges, it was kind of like bubble.
Yes.
Like bubble gum...
It was very cartoony, I would say. Would you agree with that description?
Yeah.
I felt this is more... The way they look here, I felt is more appropriate for, like, maybe a Harley Quinn comic. Something that's a little bit... Has a little more humor in it. Mm-hmm. The art is good. I'm not taking anything away from his artistic ability. But for the way, the direction the storyline was going, I didn't feel like it kept the mood for me at this point of the story, which kind of threw me off. But I really liked Ed Benes's Superman, maybe because it's kind of reminiscent of a Jim Lee style. Mm-hmm. Like you said, very sharp, very tight with the lines. Very action oriented, you know, blockbuster looking. I like Superman being drawn this way. It's kind of powerful.
Yeah.
And then John Byrne, I didn't mind at all either, even though it is a big transition from the Ed Benes, but this one threw me off. But then we went into the Wonder Woman Superman battle that took place in the Wonder Woman issues. How did you find reading a Wonder Woman comic? Did you ever think you would do that?
I didn't even know that's what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's good storytelling. So that's what I'm saying. It seemed to transcend nicely into this issue. So I didn't even realize that the script had changed.
Yeah.
But it was good. I liked it.
I'm happy you chose this book because it allowed you to read a Superman book, but also get into a little bit of Wonder Woman as well, where there isn't Batman or Superman or things you recognize, but you're in the story. Mm-hmm. So you kind of realize that when it's written well, it doesn't really matter who you're reading about. The story is what makes it worthwhile all the time, right? The moment in this book that changes everything, when they realize what they have to do to release Superman from Maxwell Lord's control. Because, do you want to explain basically what Maxwell Lord says he's going to do with this ability at this point in time? Like, the lasso's thrown around him for him to be completely honest as well, right? Wonder Woman throws the lasso on him.
It turns out that Maxwell Lord is in complete control of Superman's abilities, thinking, what he sees, everything. Which I don't understand how that even happened. I don't even know if that was ever explained. It was just said. Mm-hmm. Which I don't like. Again, maybe the pages were stuck together, or maybe I was confused in that moment. But I don't know how that manipulation could have happened without the help of a higher being. I don't know. Because with Brainiac, I understand that's a possibility of mind manipulation or telekinesis or something like that. But this is a mortal individual. Like, I don't know how someone like him was able to corrupt Superman in that fashion. So that's kind of a question mark in my head, but nonetheless, that's what's revealed. And so Superman reacts to what he thinks he sees. If Lois is under attack, or Perry, or Jimmy Olsen, if they're captured, he just loses his mind and does everything in his power to try to save these people.
Even
crossing that line that line. All of them
have
basically sworn never to do.
Right.
So at this point, once they figure out that the Lord is behind everything, Diana figures out that the only way to release Superman is to have him killed. And this comes from Maxwell Lord himself. He is tied by the lasso, which compels you to tell the truth. You can't deny anything. And the reason why she felt that this had to be done was because at this point, Maxwell Lord had said, well, you know, I've been able to use him and manipulate him to kill or almost kill certain people, but I will make sure next time that he takes out and is responsible for the people that he swore to protect. So she, in learning that she needs to eliminate him to be able to release Superman, snaps his neck and kills him.
No hesitation.
None.
Once she realizes that's what needs to be done, she makes that decision with no hesitation. Now, do you think she made the right call? Because Superman comes to his senses when he sees that the way that to stop him is to kill him. So you had brought something up at the beginning of this episode. Something that bothered you, that you're conflicted with. Do you want to explain it? I think I know what it is, but I'd like to hear you explain it.
I don't... Okay. Well, she kills him. And I find that to be... I find this to be a little upsetting in the sense that when Superman was in his blind rage, he didn't grasp or see the line that he would never cross. He would kill to avoid Lois from dying. Or if she did die, he would just destroy everything and everybody without thinking. And he was just driven by emotion to do that, to cross that line. Wonder Woman, on the other hand, crossed that line using reason and fact.
And she stood by it for the sake of everybody.
And to be fair, she was trying to find a different alternative. Because she's a warrior. That's what she does. She kills. But out of respect for her friends and
teammates
and everything else, she sticks to a certain protocol. But having learned that there was no other alternative, because she asked him, let him go. He says no. She says, tell me, how do I get you to let go of him? And he tells her, well, I'm never going to stop. So all your only option is to kill me. She didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
And it's not that she did it. She didn't make a haste decision. She tried to figure out another way. He told her how to do it. She thought about it for just a second and figured, that's what I got to do.
So in this scenario, knowing how Superman views taking of a life and Batman never crossed that line, would you have gone the Wonder Woman route? Even if it meant risking your friendship and the trust of your teammates in this?
Yes, because in this instance, had she not done that to save... If she didn't save him, then she would be killing everybody else.
Yeah.
And that would have been more catastrophic than anything.
So did it make you respect Wonder Woman more as a character, or see her more as being like, she just doesn't have a code?
Respect. I understood her logic behind her decision.
It just didn't seem like there was any other choice. It was interesting because it was very, the build up to this. Do you remember the OMACs that they had, the robots that were randomly attacking the heroes throughout the book? And then when Superman realized that there's actually people inside of these OMAC machines, mm-hmm. that were also being controlled by Maxwell Lord,
mm-hmm.
that initial satellite had been built by Bruce,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, they're like, well, you were the
Bruce
one.
Bruce or Adam? There was something that was built by the Adam. Oh, wait, that's how he manipulated him. Yeah, that's right.
Something okay. built by the Adam. Mm-hmm. That's what I was trying to look up before. Because I remember, I think Martian Manhunter had mentioned it, that's how he had planted something so small, but deep, deep down into his brain that mm-hmm. you couldn't even extract it. Martian mm-hmm. Manhunter couldn't even extract it. So this all even started with, remember the movie Doom?
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. of Justice League Doom. So yeah. the Tower of Babel storyline where Bruce had that backup plan of how to stop the Justice League. So the trust issues were already being broken then. Mm-hmm. And then there is this satellite that he had made that was taken over by Checkmate. And now people were being victimized into this OMAC project where they would be put into these androids to young people, old people, didn't matter what they were now being a threat to civilians and to the superhero community. And now Superman can't be trusted because if he gets taken over and put into a blind rage, he's liable to just destroy anybody in his path. And now Wonder Woman's ready to kill if she has to. Mm-hmm. So nobody trusts anybody anymore because they're all a threat to each other. Mm-hmm. But Checkmate purposely had it set up that if it should go down, let's put it on TV. Let's televise it to the world so that none of them will trust any of these people anymore. Take away all of their power.
Yeah, but it was monsters. If it was televised that she killed this guy, then it would have been televised that he was a crazy person who was going to hurt people. And so, quote unquote, justice needed to be done. So her actions, again, I'm not condoning murder, but her actions should have, could have been a little bit more acceptable, I guess, to the public eye.
It's an interesting point that was made in it when she was trying to justify to her friends and to her fellow teammates, saying, like, listen, I didn't have a choice in what I had to do. I needed to save my friend. I needed to save other people who could be easily victimized. This couldn't go on. And this man was an evil person. Everyone was like, yeah, but you want to kill your monsters that you fight? You want to kill the Medusas who have hair, snakes for hair? People will be okay with that because it looks like a monster. They get it. This was a person. This guy looked like us. He was just a man. And you're quote unquote a god. And Superman has godlike powers, and Batman is, you know, this freak of the night that people are scared of. Do you realize why this is a problem? You can't just do this where you see it's fit.
Yeah, but I think that's unfair because humans take people's lives in their own hands, and I'm not talking criminal, but even law enforcement or government. If a certain person has committed a certain crime in some parts of the world, there's the death penalty, and it's televised. Or there's a viewing room where people can see, what's it called? Lethal injections being done. It's the same thing. Right? Am I saying something?
No, I think...
And, it was deserved because this person, although they looked this way, they were a monster. Mm-hmm. They did monstrous, corruptive things. Mm-hmm. And so, again, justice needed to be done. If not held in some kind of correctional facility or whatever, if they were ever let out, they would just do it again. They would have to stop the madness. Again, I'm not saying that that's the proper way of doing things, but if like even humans have that outlook, that same thinking. So why was she so
ostracized?
Yes.
You mean to say castrated? Wonder Woman would be getting castrated. I really liked how this made you feel so conflicted as to, like, what would I have done? You know, hypothetically, if I was in this situation, what would my stance have been? You know, you wouldn't want to go that route, but what choice did she have? Mm-hmm. And was she courageous in making that choice, or was she cowardly for making that choice? And is Superman naive for thinking that there could have been another way when he's the one who was the threat to begin with? And then on the other side, I wanted to get your take on how you felt the way Batman reacted to all of this. Because I was a little bit, you know how he's going to react, but I kind of feel a little bit like, a little unimpressed with his not being forgiving or not kind of budging in his stance on the circumstance, in the situation, seeing what it was. He was still get out of my cave.
So before, don't see me again. Before we get into that, I wanted to quickly say, you know, I think too, what the decision that she made, it wasn't just, you know, the protecting of people and ending the madness. I think it was also protecting the race of heroes, right? Because had Superman been left to being manipulated and mind controlled by this person, then the natural fear of everyone is like, oh, this guy has godlike powers. Look at what he's doing. She, you know, look at this woman who can fly, who has the power of the gods or whatever it is that she does. Look at what she's doing. These people are out of control. So had she not done it, and more catastrophes would have occurred, well, then the label or the idea of superheroes would be nulled. Is that the proper word? Mm-hmm. It would have been tainted.
Do you think that this taints it just as much, though? Because where you guys, when you guys suddenly want to police yourselves, like, what authority will she have to answer to for doing what she did? Are they above authority now? Because when they see fit to do, to take people out, to eliminate the threat, can they police themselves? That's the... You bring up such a valid point, and I agree with you, but then on the flip side, it leads to that. That's the whole point of this book, right? It's to leave it to controversy.
Right, but it's not like these people have a history of just taking people out at will. They've already proved themselves, I would think, already to humanity that, you know what, we try everything we can to keep that from happening. Mm. This is one event that has occurred to a person who was a psychopath, who really didn't leave her any choice. So if you're coming at me and you're saying, you know, this person is like this and they have a reputation to show for, then yeah, okay, I understand. There's something there. But if they're not known for that type of characteristic or personality, what it is that you have to say, this one instant shouldn't taint the rest of their person. I think that's just in general, in human relationships too. Like, if that's not who you are, you had a moment of you know, whatever. That's not who you are. That doesn't mark you. That doesn't. So you had a moment of.
No, I totally get what you're saying. It's conflicting, but what was really. Another thing I forgot to mention that had happened within the Justice League. You remember that book, Identity Crisis, where one of the hero's family members dies very shockingly? And then, do you remember the Adam's wife was the one who was the murderer? She killed the elongated man's wife. It was like a murder mystery story within the...
I don't remember.
You don't remember that one? It was an early one that you read. Anyways... Within that story, something happens where members of the Justice League decide that they need to mind wipe some of the villains so that they forget some of the horrendous things that they did. And in the process, they mind swipe Batman so that he doesn't remember them doing it. So everybody is now all up in arms of like, okay, we're mind swiping people where we see fit and trying to alter personalities for criminals who have committed certain crimes. Batman's got satellites up in the air. We're mind-swiping Batman, who already doesn't trust anybody, right? Superman could be... His mind could be taken over himself, and now Wonder Woman's killing. Like, what's happened to justice? Mm-hmm. What's happened to the order of our team? How do we deal with these issues? So, this story incorporates all of those things that they've set in place of, like, can we mind-swipe Superman, make him forget? They're like, no, don't do that. That's a whole bag of worms. You don't want to... Can of worms we don't want to open up. Killing's always off the table for Batman, no matter what the situation is. So it really set the table for this next major event to occur, to see how it would affect everybody. Mm-hmm. And Looking back, I really love the way the DC Universe intertwined with each other. Like, the Justice League really affected each other's storylines, but each character had their own journeys that they were going on that was really character building. And when they did come together, when something did happen, stakes were high. I just felt like the storytelling at this era of DC Comics was so strong, and it really left you wanting to be interested in everybody. Everybody's story affected somebody in a, in not such a confusing way. I don't know. Does that make sense? So would you recommend it? Would you want to read more of this era of Superman? Written by Greg Rucka and Gail Simone and all that, those group of people, team? Or was this good enough for you?
I think I would try something else. I was a little disappointed, though, at the end when Batman, when she, you know, she did everything she could to do what she had. It's so hard because then it's like she's punished for it by her own allies, and there's no one that ever that she could ever relate to, or anyone she can lean on except the bull guy. I don't know who this bull guy is, a friend of hers, but
the bullheaded man.
Yeah, but you know, Superman is obviously unimpressed with how she dealt with it, and then Batman is so cold with her, where she felt the need to go and explain herself to him before he even got to know about it. She wanted to give him the decency of hearing what happened from her, and without even looking at her, just tells her to get out.
Yeah, it upset me because he didn't take any, he didn't recognize his role in how this snowball started to roll down the hill.
Especially when a lot of these things happened when he wasn't even there. He was connected to a machine, and she's the one, along with everyone else's help, but she was the one who cared for him medically, emotionally, made had Superman understand what had happened. She broke the news to him calmly. She didn't, like, you know, you're a madman, what's wrong with you? Nothing like that. It was like, this happened, and this happened, you did it to your friend, but we're gonna fix it. I'm doing everything I can. I'm gonna miss, you know what I mean? Like, she was
the peacekeeper.
She was the one that kept that together. And yeah, then at the end, for everyone to turn their back on her, when she did what she did for them, it was a little heartless. But that's Batman for you. Like, there's no, he's the most stubborn individual. There's no reasoning with him.
Yeah. No, it was.
And crossing that line is like, it's unforgivable.
It's a little bit, there's a certain place that sometimes they take Batman's character where it, you have to do it, but it's kind of irritating. It's like, oh dude, like, you're so smart in all these other ways, but then you're written in this way where it's like, ugh, just doesn't budge. He's just so stubborn. And
which, again, as frustrating as it is, it's a consistent trademark of him. And you know, and again, that's how we are. We're stuck. We dig our heels in the sand, and there's nothing that will change our thinking about something. But that was the upsetting part, and she just left with her head down. She didn't even fight him on it or try to excuse what she did or why she did it. She just took it.
I give Wonder Woman credit. I don't like that she killed the guy, but I like that she did what she had to do and stood by it and did it.
Which is sad too, because, you know, she may have stopped Superman.
She contained from, Man of Steel.
From being, you know, a mess to the planet, but it's almost like she was still defeated by Lord, even though she took him out.
Yeah, it was a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. Superman, Sacrifice. It's a good one. I liked it. Thank you for picking it. I'm happy we got to read it again and discuss it, and it makes me want to go back and read some of the stuff on my shelf that I haven't, that I enjoyed, but I forgot how much fun it was to read them at the time. So let's get into our email that we got for this week. I already have an idea how you're going to feel about subject at hand, but I want you to speak on it nonetheless. So, our email's from Michael Gregg, and he wants to ask us our opinion on Gotham. So he says, what do you guys think of Gotham? Would you consider a segment or even an entire episode of Cave of Solitude on the subject? I really like the show. I cannot make sense of all the alternate timelines and universes of the Batman comic verse, but I like the way they're doing the prequel thing, even if it ages the various characters seem out of sync with the reality I'm most familiar with. I like the grittiness and the noir, but not ridiculously overwrought gothic noir of the Burton films. I know they take some liberties, but seeing where the characters come from is a fun ride, and I like the Gordon character as he's been developed so far. Keep up the good work. So, he wants to know, we've talked a little bit about Gotham in the past, but in fairness, I'd like to respond to the email. This is a very specific question. I want to get your take on it after all this time that Gotham has been on the air. Have you changed your stance on it?
To be honest, because people have expressed its positive development, I'm kind of, sort of, very, very not, but sort of intrigued to know what it is that people are referring to. But based on principle, I won't watch it. Like, I'm being stubborn now. I feel like if it's not what I expect it to be, it's just going to be a whole other letdown again. And I don't.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get totally what you're saying. I'm giving it another shot again. And I will admit that the show itself is good. The storyline is good. It's intriguing. I was in a comic book shop recently, though. And I was kind of eavesdropping, but not, because the person was new to comics and they wanted to find a good Batman story to read. So I think she had asked one of the people who worked there if they watched Gotham. And the only reason why I say I think she asked him that was because he goes, no, I read Batman. So because I read Batman, I can't watch this show because I know what Batman is. And it's not to be like I'm too good to watch it. He goes, but it's not a Batman show. Mm-hmm. It's a police procedural show that try to shoehorn Batman mythology in it to sell it. And I completely agreed with it. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't think the show is good or that it has its merits, because it definitely does have its merits. But knowing Batman, it's hard to watch it. Because it's not even that it's an alternate timeline. Mm-hmm. It's that the things that make the character's story weighty, the things that make his relationships interesting and intriguing, are not being developed in the mm-hmm. show mm-hmm. for my taste and what I know the character is supposed to experience. Mm-hmm. It has its good points. I like seeing the Penguin backstory because I think that's one that would be told in this era of Bruce's life. Mm-hmm. But I don't like seeing the Riddler or Edward Nygma work for the police force. I don't like the introduction of a Joker while Bruce Wayne is a child. Even Commissioner Gordon being the one to, or Lieutenant or Captain Gordon being the one to fight these guys before Bruce does. Mm-hmm. It just does not sync
up. That doesn't even make sense, because Bruce is the one that, or Batman would be the one that has all of the nitty gritty back info on all of these criminals. He's the expert on these guys, and he's the one that comes in and tells Gordon who these guys are and their backstory and, you know, why they are the way they are. There's an expertise and background there. There's no reason why Gordon should have one up on Batman. Like, come on.
And the whole thing about that I find to be the intriguing thing about Batman villains is that Batman exists to stop the mob, to stop the criminals. And the argument is always made, the Riddler, Two-Face, Joker, they all exist because of you. Mm-hmm. Because you showed up, these guys show up.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes the whole, it's like the chicken and the egg conversation, you know, where these guys always there in the background, and that's why, or they're there as a response to what they've seen this vigilante do, mm-hmm. you know, increase the crazy.
Yeah, good point.
And I feel that that's what makes the Batman story, for me, a complex one and an intriguing one. Because it's like, have you made things better or have you made things worse? Whereas in this case, I feel like you're stealing that away from what you're supposed to experience in the story. Mm-hmm. Like, Harvey Dent is supposed to be Bruce's friend, possibly college roommate. You know, you tackle the story from that angle, and I find it more interesting because you're developing the relationships. So knowing that I'm not going to see that happen and that part of the story be taken away, it loses the weightiness for me mm-hmm. when I watch Gotham.
Yeah.
And because of that, I find it hard to watch. I don't mind changing the story where it needs to be changed. That doesn't bother me. But completely going against the essence of it.
Yeah.
Makes it difficult to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do want to read, if you are interested in finding a comic book that would also, what's the word I'm looking for, appeal to your tastes of liking Gotham, but also liking the having the Batman continuity, but not making it so silly.
Gotham Central.
You took it out of him. Mm-hmm. Towards out of my mouth. You'll really like Gotham Central because it's what Gotham should have been, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
And you'll read that and you'll be like, this makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. This is the right way to tell a Batman story without Batman in it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we answered your question. I will give it more of a chance. And if I see that there's something I really, really love about it or want to discuss, we'll make an episode completely dedicated to Gotham. But at this point, I don't have enough experience watching the show to give a better opinion myself, so I don't feel that would be fair. So thank you for your email, Mike. We appreciate it. Keep emailing into the show. We enjoy responding to our listeners' emails. And if you want to read Superman Sacrifice, like I always do every show, Cyber City Comics, they got a copy there. Pick it up and make it your comic shop of choice if you live in the city of Toronto. It's the best place to go to. Thank you, Daff J. It was a good episode. I liked your insight on hearing you discuss something other than a Batman book for a change. And everybody visit caveofsolitude.com or email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com and our Instagram page. But more importantly, start following the Hazel's Eyes Instagram page. You will not regret having that on your feed. Thank you for listening, everybody, and we will talk to you soon.